Perky Plains and RC here, operating at 2.4 gigahertz, and got my good old Burger King coffee this morning. Yep, it's one of them things where you go to fast food places and you no longer ask for pop. You're just like, give me a coffee. So, yeah, I'm one of them people sometimes. Now, something about fast food places is not all of them. I don't think any of them carry my preferred sweetener, which is Stevia. No, most of them are like Sweet and Low, Equal, Splenda, you know, all that stuff. And so you have to make sacrifices, you know what I'm saying? And it's not a terrible sacrifice, I know, I'm just playing. But you know, usually I'll pick Splenda or I'll pick Sweet and Low out of those choices. Most of the time probably Sweet and Low because it's the most common one. What I've learned with me in Sweet and Low is I have to proceed carefully because I can go from just right to yuck, that stuff stinks, throw it out kind of thing. So I got three packets for this coffee this morning, and I kind of figured that was probably overkill, but I just went ahead and got it anyways. And I just kind of progressively did it. So like one packet, yeah, it's okay. Two packets, yeah, that's okay. It's teetering on the point of no return, you know, that kind of thing. So, but two packets of my coffee, and that's good. And, you know, no breakfast early, or, well, yeah, since I did go to Burger King in the morning, since I got coffee, I about bit my tongue there. It's only fair for me to get breakfast at Burger King, which is probably one of the very few things I get at Burger King because I'm just not a big fan of Burger King. So if you're going to do breakfast at Burger King, you got to do a croissant, which hopefully most people out there know that little secret. If you get anything else, that's probably just weird. I mean, I don't go to Burger King for a biscuit. And being a fan of Mexican and burritos, I don't usually go to Burger King for a burrito either. But daggone it, those croissant lunches, take my money, please. Yes, give me a bunch of them. So, yes, got me a croissant lunch this morning. And here's a little secret about myself since I'm rambling on here about food, which is a very good topic to talk about. I'm not a big fan of Burger King, period. I'm just not. Never was super crazy about the burgers. Don't know why, just never was. When it comes to fast food, if I had to pick of fast food joints and my preferred burger, I would go with Wendy's. Okay. I hate to say it this way, but For the main guys out there, for the main ones, and just going by the ones that we have more locally around here, it's probably for me Burger King, McDonald's, which is not a super great one, and then Burger King. That's how it almost falls to me, seriously. Just not a huge fan of Burger King. But daggone it, I will gladly take a breakfast croissant lunch from there. Good stuff. So, what's new in the world? What's new going on? Well, let me get a couple RC things out of the way, then we can kind of just talk about whatever. I feel this is going to be a very random one anyway, so why not, right? You know? So, I just recently released a video of my RC club's fly-in that we had in June. It was like earlier in June this month. Had a great time. It was one of those things where they usually hold their fly-ins on like a Friday, Saturday. And usually for me and my work schedule, it doesn't jive too well with the Friday. So usually I end up going on the Saturday. And So I went and hung out with the guys for a bit, just kind of shot the breeze, you know, and all that good stuff. It got to a point where it was kind of too windy to fly for me. And I don't know. It seems like I'm falling into that old man category of flying at the field. I'd rather just go there and shoot the breeze with the guys, you know what I'm saying? More so than fly. Now, I do, however, sometimes will go when it's kind of quiet and fly too. So I do, you know, make it out there. But yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Everybody had a great time. Got to see some cool flying and stuff. They had a giveaway. I actually managed to win something. I won a hat from, I think it was Valley View RC. I don't normally win stuff. So, I mean, even something as simple or something as you know, just something just like a hat or t-shirt, still pretty cool because I normally don't win anything. So, yeah, that was really awesome. But I hung out there for a while, had a good time. Like I said, just kind of hung out with the guys, talked, whatever. They actually, I was there. I kind of sort of knew there was going to be something eventually on this, but I didn't know when they were going to do it. But they actually had like a little bit of a dedication for one of our past club members. He was actually the former president of the club. Lawrence is his name. And he had passed away. I don't remember now. Maybe it was last year. I'm terrible with that stuff. You know, it was kind of one of those things where I guess we could almost sort of see it coming because they held an emergency meeting and they had to nominate a new president and stuff. And he was up there in age and his health was, I'm sure, was affected. And but anyways, they we got a new club president, and it was shortly. I felt like it was maybe been a month or two after that he had passed away. So, but truthfully, I mean, honestly, Lawrence was a great guy. I mean, he was just a humble guy. He'd give you the shirt off his back. Super, super awesome. Super great. Just a good person overall. But they did a dedication. You know, they had sort of made this custom plaque or custom sign that they were going to hang outside the club, the clubhouse. And, you know, it, I think it said it has the name Lawrence and then a clubhouse or something underneath of it. I don't know if you watch the video, you'll see it. Just to give you an idea, I think it actually was made out of metal or something like that. It was a really, really tough, hard material, and it actually has a very metal kind of look. So I'm assuming that's what it was. I knew they were making something. I just didn't know what. So, but there's a little piece of that in the video. So that was really awesome. So there's been that. I have been struggling a little bit with my T28. Some more plane news here, which I do have a little bit of footage from that I'll probably be getting out soon, but I've been struggling with it. It seems like ever since I got that plane, I've had issues. And the first time, of course, was a battery adapter issue, which is a weak spot anyways for anybody that does that. And I think I've already talked about that and how that was. The other incident was I had this bright idea. Well, you'll see, and if you watch my channel and the videos, you'll see this. But I had the idea, of course, that I was going to attach the camera to the airplane, right? And that was my choice. I chose my T28. I stuck the camera to it, and I don't think the issue was radio related. I don't think the issue was anything other than a basic tip stall. I was coming around. I just got up in the air. I was starting to turn. I hadn't got enough airspeed. I turned too sharp and it dropped like a rock pretty much. So there's that. And, So it's currently in a state of repair. I've got some, I'm going to try to get some of it fixed up here soon. I had to order some new parts, a new cowl for the front, new propeller, just some basic things like that. So there's that. I flew my my Bloody Baron recently, and honestly, it went great, except for one little thing. And this is the first time this has ever happened to me. But I was flying, I was doing circuit, just kind of doing some basic circuits around the field, and I was probably 3 or 4 minutes into the flight. It generally is about a 6-7 minute flight. About 4 minutes in, I come to a point where I'm out of a turn. I'm coming, and I'm going to start flying straight, kind of like a straight stretch there. And I'm going at a pretty good trek. The next thing I notice is I hear this, and I'm watching the thing the whole time too. I hear this loud kind of sound, and I watch as the propeller shoots off the front of the airplane, goes upward, and then lands over into what we call Death Valley, which is like our little roll, like the hill that rolls off outside of the field. So, yes, I watched my prop just completely fly off the airplane and over into Death Valley, where, let me go through Death Valley for you here, what that's like. So, we have a very good landing strip at our field, and a good flat spot for landing and everything for takeoffs. It's just a great, good takeoff spot. But beyond that landing strip is what's known as Death Valley. I wouldn't say it's a straight down drop, like not like a cliff or anything, but it's just a big rolling hill that goes down, a pretty good little trek, down to the very bottom, to where the woods are. And Death Valley is, they try to mow it sometimes, but for the most part, it stays pretty overgrown. And a lot of times, we kind of make jokes and stuff about airplanes or whatever getting lost down in Death Valley. So, very interesting. I've only been down there a number of times. It's not fun. Very good, probably a very good ground for snakes and other kinds of bad wildlife. And they've carved out some paths to kind of get down there and stuff and all that. But I think, actually, now that I think about it, my last sea duck video where I actually crashed it because I had a wing fail at that point, I think, it actually went over into Death Valley. And I think I included a little bit of the snippet of the walk down to Death Valley to go retrieve it. Luckily, it didn't go too far. But that gives you a good picture of Death Valley. It's just this big, big hill off of our field that is very overgrown. And like I said, a really good breeding ground for snakes, basically. But anyways, back on the Bloody Baron. Prop goes off over to Death Valley. And my take is at that point, that if it were an airplane, I'd try to go over to Death Valley and try to retrieve it. The fact that it was a small little 8-inch propeller with the collet adapter on it, the fact that it was, just that little piece, it'd be like a needle in a haystack. And it's probably in the grass and weeds somewhere. I'd be lucky if it actually landed on one of the paths, basically, but I'm doubting that that's the case. I did not attempt to go look for it. I was just like, oh well, let it go. Propellers and those collet adapters, because that went over with it too. Those were like a few bucks, so no big deal there. It's not worth the effort to go look for it. And if something comes up to where someone's down that way and they happen to come across it, that's fine. But I wasn't gonna fool with it that day. So, just let it go. man, that croissant sandwich is good. So that's kind of RC in a nutshell. I have been getting out and doing a lot more stuff, and doing things and everything. So that's good. I feel like this year is going to be kind of the warm up, and then next year is hopefully when things will get a little more interesting or whatever. But we'll see what happens. And but I'm just glad to get back out and do it. Basically, I'm super super glad to get back out and do some more flying and stuff. I missed it. You know, actually, I think this weekend that I'm recording this is actually the weekend of Flight Fest, and I totally wish I was there because I would so love to do the combat stuff there. But I think that might wait till next year at this point. So I do have plans to go to Flight Fest at some point in the future. I don't know when. Hopefully next year, but we'll see. So, anything else in this crazy, messed up world that we're living in? Something I do want to talk about. And this has been in the news recently, and it actually hits home for me a little bit, for those who may not know, which probably is a bunch of you guys, is let's talk about the Titanic and the Titan sub that was recently lost. So, first, okay, so something you guys don't know about me. I have been a big Titanic nut, all right? Now, before you all prejudge anything, it has nothing to do with the stinking movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, and all that crap. It's got nothing to do with that. No. My interest, so let me kind of, this just to give you an idea. So I'm currently 42 years old. My interest in Titanic started when I was in middle school. I was, I think, 5th or 6th grade. So that puts me at about 12, 13 years old. And at middle school, you know, back in the 90s. It's crazy to think it's been that long ago. What it is that, we went to, it was one of those days in class that we went to the library. Okay. And we started, getting, you know, it might have been for English class or I don't know what it was, but we just decided, you know, we're going to take some library time, maybe check out a book or something. And then, you know, and all that. Well, at that time, I don't remember what I was even looking for. And I may have just been browsing. I may have just been looking through the shelf and just seen this. But I came across a book regarding the Titanic, you know, history and the shipwreck and stuff by Robert Ballard. And just to give you guys an idea of the history here, Robert Ballard was pretty much, I think, the guy who discovered the wreck of the Titanic. And this was back, I believe, in 85, 86 is when he discovered it. So, you know, I pulled this book out and I saw this, you know, really amazing looking ocean liner on it and stuff. And I was like, wow, this looks interesting. And that's where it all started. So Robert Ballard's book, you know, probably just something written for, you know, middle school grade, you know, that kind of thing. That's what drew me into the Titanic. And ever since then, it's opened up the floodgates. And not even just the Titanic, but also to other shipwrecks. So like Britannic, which is Titanic's sister ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald, which there actually was, you know, a song written about that as well. Gordon Lightfoot, who actually recently passed away. The Lusitania, just a whole bunch of stuff. I just started really kind of, that's what started my interest, I guess, basically in maritime, you know, interest and maritime tragedies and things like that. So Robert Ballard is actually what got me started into this stuff. And I will tell you this, you know, as much as I don't know, just basically, when the Titanic movie came out with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, you know, I didn't really look upon this like a the whole love story and I didn't look upon this like the whole love story Hollywood bullcrap. You know, that just wasn't my thing. And, you know, in my eyes, I was kind of too gullible to understand what Hollywood was going to do, you know, about this thing. You know, for me, cool movies like Star Wars and things like that, you know, that's what I liked, and stupid comedies. And so I was gullible to think that, oh, Hollywood's creating a movie about Titanic. You know, and it looks really good, so I want to check it out. And of course, you know, they got to throw in their, you know, bull crap love story thing and make it all a little, you know, make it more digestible, I guess, for the general public. I don't really know. But I didn't sit there during that movie going, wondering about Jack, wondering about, you know, Rose or any of that stuff. That was not even my focus. I mean, yeah, I watched it a little bit, but I was sitting there thinking, like, God, the detail they did on that was amazing. That looks like the real ship right there. And, man, the, you know, the detail of how the deck looks and the doors and the hallways. It's like, wow, this looks so cool, like the real freaking ship. You know, that's actually what was interesting to me during the whole thing. And even like comparing the sinking to to how I've sort of read it and how it was portrayed and everything. It was just like I was looking at the accuracies more than anything else. I didn't care about Jack and Rose. You know, I was more interested in the details and the, you know, some of the, you know, the technicality things. I didn't care one bit for the Jack and Rose character at all. The characters, it was just like, forget them. You know, they're just on there making love or whatever. You know, just wasn't my thing. You know, so yeah. So, you know, I think I watched Titanic maybe a couple times. The group that I was with had girls with it, and of course, girls love the movie for obvious reasons, and so that's how it kind of came about. But yeah, so that's me and my interest in Titanic in a nutshell. So yes, not the stinking movie. No, it's just a book from Robert Ballard about his discovery of the wreck, and in his telling of the story of what happened and all that kind of stuff. And that was in sixth grade. Fifth or sixth grade. And that was, I think the movie came out in 99 or something. But yeah, I was well into the Titanic before all that stuff. So anyways, since that's been in the news recently about the Titan sub, I figure I can dive into that as well. So I have a different outlook in terms of the Titanic and in terms of basically how I view the shipwreck and how I view the story and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's a very, despite it being different, it's very common, I think, for some people to feel this way. But I can tell you this much right now. If I was offered a free ticket to go down to see the wreck of the Titanic on a submarine, I would probably decline. Okay. I'm thinking of the safety concerns, obviously, for any of that, no matter how safe the submersible is. But I'm also thinking about, you know, I can't just reach out and touch the thing. You know, I can't just reach out and touch the thing. You know, when you're trapped in this big bubble, you know, you can't just reach out the porthole there and touch the wreck. You can't do that, you know. And you know, the other thing is, too, is, to me, that's a gravesite. That's not, you know, that's not what I would call, you know, a playground. That's not an amusement park. That's not something I would just want to pay a ticket, pay for a ticket and go watch it. You know what I'm saying? I don't view it that way. I don't view it like it's something I can make money off of or something I want to put my money towards. You know, towards doing something like that. I don't want to buy a ticket to go see the Titanic. Because to me, like I said, that's a gravesite. That's not something I want to play around with. And, yeah, pretty much, that's pretty much me in a nutshell with that. So, and there have been numerous people, the whole Titanic thing has been, I would almost call it a curse. It seems like since Robert Ballard made the discovery of the wreck, people have been going down there at a crazy pace. I remember whenever he went down on his dive, and they had placed a plaque or some sort of, you know, in memory kind of thing on the ship itself. You know, that was pretty good. But it seems like ever since then, everybody and their brother has been doing the same thing. Everybody else has been copying it. It's this curse of it just draws you in. The story draws you in, and all you want to do is keep, you know, being respectful, but also being disrespectful to it, you know? And I kind of feel that way. I mean, they've taken numerous artifacts up from the wreck, which is, you know, good to have a display of that. I mean, I do like the museums and stuff like that. So, but like I said, a lot of things have been taken from the wreck. I think there's actually been some physical damage, like beyond what sitting on the seafloor damage, you know, has happened, you know, because I mean, over time, you know, it's been there for over 100 years. I mean, it's going to deteriorate and it's going to change. I understand that, but there has been actual physical damage from human interaction, basically. And yeah, like I said, to me, it's a gravesite. It shouldn't be bothered. It shouldn't be bothered, you know, that much. And just the fact alone that it's at, you know, 2.5 miles beneath the ocean, not exactly like just, you know, and it's not exactly like just driving your car a block down the road. You know, it's not something that you can just, you know, do in like 2 minutes and be relatively safe for the most part. No, this is a dangerous environment, guys. You know, 2.5 miles down in the ocean, the pressure from that is probably insane. We're talking tons of pressure down on you just because you want to see a wreck, you know, a wreck of a ship and a gravesite. So, yeah, I'm a little weird about that. People just, like, you know, treating this like a carnival and a playground and say, oh, I'll buy my ticket and go see the Titanic, you know. Nah, that's okay. The most I would want to do, honestly, is if I could get if I can be on a ship somewhere that had, you know, some sort of robot vehicle that was attached to the main ship there, and just to show me pictures of the wreck, I'd be content with that. Probably I'd buy a ticket for that possibly, but I'm not going to buy a ticket and go on a submarine down to it and be feet from it. No, thanks. I'll pass. But the whole Titan. I think this was mentioned in other interviews. I think even James Cameron had mentioned this, and I noticed this as well. The similarities between the Titan submarine submersible and the Titanic story itself. You know, here is basically, I hate to say it this way, but it's like rich people cutting corners on things to save costs, because that was probably done with the Titanic as well. They cut some corners to save costs and to and all that. So, like, you know, for example, they didn't provide enough lifeboats on the Titanic, so they cut corners there. On this Titan submersible, they cut corners in the construction and stuff, you know, so that this so they could, you know, save a bit of money and try to get people down to see this or to go down to see the wreck and stuff. So you got this whole cut, rich people cutting corners kind of stuff that could have been avoided. You've got the similarity with the name, Titanic ship and Titan, the sub. And then you've got the overall warnings from everybody else, you know. And I think this is what James Cameron mentioned too, is like, here's, you know, Captain Smith completely ignoring all the iceberg warnings and all that kind of stuff. And sure enough, they plow right into an iceberg. And then with the Titan sub, it's like you've got numerous engineers and things going, this thing is not safe. You can't make a sub to go down to those depths and build it out of that kind of material. That's not going to work. You're going to have, you know, a possible, you know, catastrophic failure. You know, it's going to, you know, something's going to happen because those types of materials can't handle those kinds of pressures, you know. And they pressed on and ignored, you know, ignored people, ignored, you know, professionals who knew what they were talking about that thing. So there's just so many similarities there with that. So it's sad. And it's another situation of something that could have been avoided. Like this all could have been avoided had they not cut corners, had they actually, you know, if they not cut corners, had they actually listened to people and said that this material does not work on this sub or is not going to work for what you're trying to do. So, you know, just knowing those things, I think as I told somebody else, it's got the word disaster written all over it before they even get in the water. So truly sad. And I pray for the families. Something else too is the, I feel extremely bad too about the 19-year-old that was on the sub as well. I mean, there's someone who had, you know, their life ahead of them, and it's just gone, you know, just like that. Because, you know, when something implodes, you know, it's the opposite of an explosion. And explosions can be continuous, and they can last a little while, depending on, you know, the materials and the environmental conditions and whatever else. You know, explosions can actually go on and be triggered and actually last long. Implosions, no. It's like split second, just like that, you know, like maybe even faster than that. So, yeah, truthfully, a very sad situation. And I only hope that they, you know, improve upon this, that make sure that something like this never happens again, because it could have been avoided. And speaking of shipwrecks and stuff, I've kind of always said this about people, or I've kept this remark as well for anybody who has interest in the Titanic and who might be having this desire to want to go see the shipwreck itself and or go exploring. If you want to see a shipwreck of the Titanic so bad, why don't you work on trying to get to find a way to go see the shipwreck of the Britannic, which is Titanic's sister ship. The Britannic is basically, I believe, almost the same specs, you know, lengthwise and all that as the Titanic. And it actually had sank as well. Most all of the White Star Line, you know, of those, I think they were Olympic class ships. Most all those had some sort of tragic end, unfortunately. Britannic, I believe it was during World War II, maybe. It was a warship. It was originally an ocean liner and got transferred to being a warship. Or it could be, I'm terrible with history sometimes and my wars and things like that. But regardless, the Britannic was sank. I believe it was hit by a torpedo, and it sank in much shallower waters than what the Titanic sank in. You know, of course, Titanic sank in down 2.5 miles of ocean. I think the Britannic is almost perfectly intact, minus the hole in the side, perfectly intact on its side in about 400 feet of water. So you can see almost the same exact ship in a much shallower environment, basically, if you're that crazy about it, you know. So, yeah, that's it. So, like I said, that's just my thing. If you're obsessed, crazy about seeing the Titanic wreck site, go see the Britannic instead. It'd be safer, less of a chance of something catastrophic happening, you know. Catastrophic. Oh, yeah, that's some good coffee. Well. So I felt like it had been a while since I'd done this podcast, and it has. It's been like a month. I actually had an episode recorded before, but I think it's gotten lost in translation somewhere, and other stuff just sort of happened, so I didn't get around to uploading it. But after what the hey, we'll start with a fresh one. And all that good stuff. And I think actually, you might be hearing this on something like Spotify or something else. I don't know at this stage, but I am going to take the serious plunge to get it up on those sites and kind of have it out there. So I figure that'd be good, good and more exposure and stuff and all that. So, so what's in store? What's going on? Oh, I've got some zebra cakes over there. They look very tempting. So what's going on? What's going on? Well, let's see. I've got some RC stuff to do. To tell you the honest truth, guys, I've got a ton of crap to do. A ton of crap. My building is an absolute mess still, and it's probably always going to be a mess because I'm so random with things. I'll work on something 1 second, I'll jump to something else, and then, you know, like I said, next thing I know, things are piled up everywhere. So my building needs cleaned. I've got some music stuff I'm wanting to work on. And, of course, I've got planes to work on. So I've got all kinds of goodies. But since we're kind of on the RC side of things here, we'll talk about some projects in the works or what I'm basically doing. I'm kind of just getting, I feel like this is sort of a rebirth, so to speak, of me and flying. Cause I kind of took a hiatus there for about a year. It's probably is about a year of where we had sold the house or trying to sell the house and then getting a new house. And then the fun thing of trying to transfer and move all of our stuff over to the new house. And, you know, it was absolute chaos for like months there. And it's taken me a little bit to sort of get the energy back into doing it. And on top of that, of course, I'm getting older too. I don't move as quick as I did a few years ago. So it's been a struggle, but I feel like this has been a rebirth, and it's becoming a slow rebirth of getting back into RC. I dug out my Hobby Zone Champ, which is one of the ones that I sort of got the butt, or where my passion and love really kind of took off, literally took off. Yeah. That plane, as simple and basic as it is the one that really sort of took me in and was like, "You're gonna do this. You're gonna enjoy this," And so, you know, here recently I dug out the Hobby Zone Champ, It's been a while. It needs a little bit of minor repairs too. I had to buy all new batteries because all my batteries were pretty much dead at that point. They were just, you know, I wouldn't say dead, but they were, we'll just say expired is what we'll say, because when a LiPo battery goes, it's not a I'm dead kind of thing. It's literally just a I can't hold a charge and I can't put out the performance that I used to be able to do. So like, while you could fly a five or six minute flight on a LiPo battery, you might only get a couple minutes into the flight before it's saying, I can't do it. Nope, can't do it. So that's how LiPo batteries are. They have an exhaustion point, basically. They'll still charge up and discharge, but they're just like, can't do it, Captain. Can't do it. So, but anyways, got all new batteries for my Hobby Zone Champ. And, you know, had some flights with it. Still need some tweaking, but overall it wasn't too bad. So I've done that. I, of course, went through a whole radio change, which I'm sort of, you know, getting into with that. So far, everything's been going good with radio change. I'm, you know, at a point now where I'm pretty comfortable with setting up a new model and stuff and all that. That is one thing when you go from like brand A to brand B, the menu change and the settings and all that stuff, it is completely a whole new world. So, wow, these tots are super crunchy. Sorry for the crunch, guys. So there's been that. So radio change is going good. I think next. So as of right now, the T28 is good. My Hobby Zone Champ is good. My Bloody Baron's good. Once I get a new prop and stuff for it. I was thinking next I might try to break out my old Flight Test Spitfire and my Flight Test Edge. Get those out and start, you know, monkeying with those. All while still working a little bit on the Carl Goldberg Wild Stick too. So there's that. I really don't know what else. But, you know, basically I'm just kind of doing it step by step until I get my arsenal of planes back out and successfully flying through the air and or crashing. So that's kind of my goal, just kind of building things back up slowly but surely. And you're kind of going from there. So, but overall, I think things are going pretty good. And all that good stuff. So that's kind of my plan. We'll see how far I get whenever wintertime comes here, which wintertime is probably when I'm going to be starting on build projects. I've got at least a balsa kit to finish and a balsa kit to start. We'll see how that goes. So fun. You know, that's about how it's looking. I think as of right now, buddy, or as of right now, everybody, I think I'm done. I think I'm running out of steam. I still got coffee. I still got energy, but I just don't know if I got much else to talk about other than the fact that I need to get to work and do some stuff. So it is what it is. Hopefully everybody out there is doing well. I find it interesting, too, the whole COVID thing is almost gone completely. Excuse me. That's one thing about greasy food that makes me burp quite a bit, too. I just feel like overnight the whole COVID thing has sort of disappeared. Like, you just don't hear much about it anymore, and no more emphasis on vaccines and, you know, all kinds of this crap and whatnot. I actually had COVID twice. Believe it or not, I had COVID twice. The first time was pretty rough. Mainly just feeling, you know, very tired and muscle aches and just really run down is how my first time was. Second time felt like nothing more than a sinus infection. So, and I had been vaccinated with just the basic vaccine. I hadn't gotten any boosters or anything like that. So I just had just the two vaccines. But yeah, it's like COVID is just sort of gone now. I guess I gotta find something else to focus on. Wonder what that'll be. So I don't know, guys. But yeah, anyways, I think I'm done rambling for the most part for right now. Like I said, hopefully everybody out there is doing well. Please pray for the families of the Titan submersible. I know some people have weird feelings about them just all being rich and all that, but especially pray for the families and the 19-year-old that was killed as well. I think that gets to me more than anything else. I think nothing sucks more than hearing about someone young who had their whole life ahead of them, and their life was taken, you know, way too soon. So, you know, please pray for those families and stuff. Hey, you guys got to learn a little bit about me and the Titanic interest. So, I think on top of like airplanes, which obviously I like, I also like boats. You know, ships, shipwrecks, boats, maritime stuff. I like all that. So, but yeah, that's it. I'm going to finish up my Burger King tater tots, which are, I think, a little overdone, and enjoy the rest of my coffee. Maybe get a zebra cake for dessert, because that's what I do. That's how I roll. And I've got some stuff here in my building to do. Probably will do a little bit of plane repair stuff because I need to, but I'm also probably not gonna do too much because I'm still waiting on some parts to come in, so it may not happen. Probably won't do a whole lot of that right now, but yep, there you have it. All right, guys, I'm done chit chatting. Hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. If you are tuning into it, like I said, I think soon it's going to be more readily available on other sites and other things and all that good jazz. So, but all right, that's all for me, guys. Hope everybody out there stays safe, enjoys life, has a good time, and all that. And we will talk at you soon, and I'll see you guys, or talk to you guys, in the next episode. See ya.